We have like this. We're starting with a run, 1300s Rishon, early Rishon, not early Rishon, but a Rishon. He has a question like this. We understand that biblically there is a debate, biblically speaking, whether or not there's an obligation to have a meal on Shabbos, on a normal Shabbos. Are you obligated to have a meal? Biblically speaking. Biblically speaking, we just started there might be an obligation to have a meal each Shabbos. Now, how do we know what it makes a difference to us? Practically speaking, if someone forgets to say the extra stanza for Shabbos, the Ritzeh, he has to bench again. Why does he have to bench again? Why does it say grace at meals, bris mazon again? Because the obligation to have a meal on Shabbos is a biblical level. And when a biblical in doubt, or when you're not sure, you got to repeat. So anytime on, if you would forget to say Yalav Yavo, the extra stanza on Rosh Chodesh, first of the month, on Hanukkah, Al Nisim, you don't have to go back and repeat the whole thing over. But if you forget the extra stanza of a Shabbos on a normal Shabbos, you must go back. The reason why? There's a biblical obligation to have a meal on Shabbos. And when we say meal, it includes bread, or else you wouldn't have to repeat benching, because if you can get away with eating a cucumber, then you wouldn't have to bench again, which would mean on the third meal of Shabbos, if you forget to say the extra stanza of Shabbos, you don't have to go back because you benched. There's a different debate about it, but that's how it would be according to this logic. You wouldn't have to because you benched, you forgot the extra stanza, big deal. You didn't have to eat the bread. You could have had a cucumber, you're okay to go. But the first two meals, you have to have bread. How serious is this obligation? That's what we want to understand. That this Rabbi Ran, that's not his real name, obviously, but the Ran, Rabbi Nissen, asked the question of this. We have a pasuk in the Torah that states that there's an obligation to eat matzah on Pesach by night. One of the 613 commandments is eating matzah on Pesach night. The other 7 days, you can figure out if it's an obligation or a non-obligatory idea. But the first night of Passover, there is a special pasuk in the Torah that tells you you must eat matzah. So Rabbi Ran has a very good question. He said, let me figure this out. Let's try to put the dots together. Do we need a pasuk telling me I'm obligated to eat matzah on Pesach? He said, I have a good idea. We know from a negative, you can't eat comets. Bread's out 8 days, 7 days, the old days in Israel. Bread's not allowed, and you have a biblical obligation to have a meal. And we just said 5 minutes ago, a meal obligation means bread. So if you can't have bread, and you can only eat chametz, only eat matzah because you can't have chametz. So I have a good idea. The Torah never, it's an unbelievable question. The Torah never should have written the 613 commandments, eat matzah Pesach night. Why? I know what matters. I have two that figures out the one. Once I know I cannot eat chametz, and I know I must have a meal, I'm forced to have the matzah. So do I don't need an extra commandment to eat matzah? Better reach and ask this question. Imagine going over to the container. Do I need a mitzvah for matzah? You think you guys first. But the Ran asks this question. Again, the question is, once you know you cannot eat chametz, bread's off the table, and you must have a meal, matzah becomes automatically included. We don't need it at all. That's his question.
That means when bread defines being a meal.
Yes. Right before you walk through, he said that when we're talking about a meal, according to this, it means bread as well. Correct. His answer, just to show how serious this is, the Ron's answer is, you have to come up with an answer, come up with something that's in between. What we call today egg matzah. What's egg matzah? Egg matzah is not flour and water, but flour and another substance. We say egg, it could be apple juice, it could be cranberry juice, it could be anything else. Those matzah is permitted to eat on Pesach. That's not chametz, not leavened dough, but you would be able to eat that to fulfill your meal on Shabbos. On a regular Shabbos, which we do, by the way, when Erev Pesach is a Shabbos and you're limited what you eat, what do? You don't want to get, you can't have crumbs on a Shabbos afternoon because Saturday night starts Pesach. Your wife will kill you. So what do you do on those Shabbos mornings when Pesach starts Shabbos night? So well, most people do different things. Some people spread out the tablecloth and they sit on the tablecloth and then they eat in plastic bags. They flush it down the toilet. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it that some allow, some don't allow is take out egg matzah. That's not chametz. That's not matzah. You win-win. You cover all bases. The egg matzah, whatever that means, we're saying egg matzah, but that's this whole category of matzah, is not chametz, but it's not real matzah. So the Ran says, Ran, 1300s, the Ran says that really, if the Torah would not have told you you must eat matzah Passover night, I would have taken no chametz and obligation to eat the meal, and I would fulfill my obligatory Shabbos meal through egg matzah. And I would never know an obligation to have real matzah. So the Torah required an extra pasuk, an extra 613 commandment, an extra everything because of this. Now, this introduction, why am I bringing this? We're not dealing with Pesach right now. We're not dealing with Eggmont, as far as I know. I want to show you the seriousness of how we take this. We're taking the meal very seriously as well. That's the obligation of a meal. It's a secondary biblical obligation upon all of us every week. And that is to say Kiddush, to sanctify the Shabbos. Now, what we do in practice is already rabbinic. That means we have the cup of wine, we do all this, we sit by our table. But technical law, at one point during the Shabbos, you could wait till Shabbos morning. If you're sleeping, you're fine. If a guy sleeps, this happens almost every other week when you're in Israel. Some guy went to bed Friday afternoon, chapped a bagel, as they say, 12 hours. This guy, he's nodding along. He remembers those days. You get a bagel 12 hours. You wake up now, it's 11 a.m. Maybe you're davening, maybe you're not davening. You go, what do you do for Kiddush now? Do I do the Shabbos morning Kiddush, Friday night Kiddush? Then you do the Friday night Kiddush. Because the Friday night Kiddush is the opening to sanctify a biblical obligation of Kiddush. Now, some will say you fulfill the obligation when you pray Friday night davening. There's many, many ways. We spoke about it 20 plus years ago. You can have, maybe by saying good Shabbos to someone, you sanctify the Shabbos. That's all minutia details. But we're talking about a biblical obligation to sanctify the Shabbos with Kiddush. Again, I'm saying the word Kiddush because the word Kiddush means to sanctify. Your mind is going to a cup of wine. A cup of wine might be rabbinic. So it could be if you're nowhere, say sanctify Shabbos. So we have a biblical obligation for a meal that the Ran takes so seriously. He wants to get rid of a pasuk of the Torah of Matzah. We have a biblical obligation of Kiddush every single Friday night. And now we're going to start this week. This week, as Michael's wife told him, we have Shabbos / Yom Kippur. So what are we doing as far as the meal? Don't tell me you're having a meal this Friday night. We don't want to hear about it. We don't want to hear about the meal Friday night. So now, what happens? What we do as regular Jews, we go into Yom Kippur. We say a Shechianu. That's sanctifying Yom Kippur, by the way. No cup of wine. We say Shechianu. That we do right after Kol Nidre. And then we go to Yom Kippur. So the rabbis have an idea. Who? Many great rabbis had the idea. And many regular people named Michael had the same idea. We in the summertime start Shabbos 2 hours old. Whatever it is, hour and a half old. Let's have a great idea. Let's say this week, I'll make up the number, 6 o'clock is Yom Kippur. Let's start Shabbos at 5:15. I say, I got to make Kiddush. I'm sanctifying Shabbos. Sit down and have a Shabbos meal at 5:40, let's say. Stuff our faces. And then at 5 to 6, we can't brush our teeth at Shabbos. But at 5 to 6, we rinse our mouth and then come to show, put on our white kippah and say, God, we love you. It's kippah time. And you know what we win?
You can't bench before that.
And you bench, yeah. And what do you gain by this? You fulfill 2 biblical obligations. You fulfill Kiddush, and you fulfill a Suda, which we're saying is huge. You fulfill it, and you didn't violate your kippah. It's a win-win all around, according to some of the early commentators, meaning early 1800s. They came up, I don't know why it didn't happen before this. Why don't we do a simple idea? Let's do Kiddush, eat a meal, sanctify Shabbos, and then start Yom Kippur an hour later. Okay. That's the first question. So now, what we have to understand is, first question that Michael's thinking, is when we make early Shabbos, the law class tonight, Lumbus, when we make a regular early Shabbos, not doing Yom Kippur, how do you look at, we're going to talk about right now, we set time 5:15. On an early Shabbos that normally starts, no Yom Kippur, 6 o'clock Shabbos starts, and we don't want to wait that long in the summer, we start 5:15. At 5:18, what is 5:18? Is 5:18, I brought Shabbos in early, or is it Friday still with the holiness of a Shabbos? Is it now Shabbos, or is it still Friday with the holiness of Shabbos? And major practical difference. Classic practical difference on what potentially would be, comes up all the time. Let's say a guy is in the middle of counting the Omer, 49 days to the Omer, and every day he's doing well. And then one day he makes Friday afternoon, he makes an early Shabbos, and he goes, oh, I forgot to count the Omer last night. What do I do right now? If it's considered Shabbos, you miss the day. If the day of Shabbos came in an hour early, you have now missed a 24-hour day. It wasn't 24 hours because you started early. You missed a 23-hour day. You're out of luck. But if it's still Friday, you're still in the game. I'll give you a better one. Lulav, this is what they discussed. You have an obligation. We all have an obligation to shake a rule. as we've discussed many times in this class, when do you violate the obligation of not shaking a loaf? The end of the day. The last
5 seconds, you said.
The last 5 seconds. Excellent job. The last 5 seconds. It means when I wake up in the morning, I come and say, hey, Michael, Ms. Lulav, Michael, tell me, relax. 11 o'clock, Michael, Lulav. I got time, Rabbi. Because you have to hold a Lulav at one point during the day. So you have until the last 5 seconds before sundown, on a regular day before sundown. But now it came on a Friday or a second day Yom Tov, whatever it is, or Shabbos Chol Hamoed, and now you decided you went early, so you took in the Shabbos an hour earlier, and then I came out, hey, Michael, what happened to Lulav this day? I'm like, yeah, it wasn't a good strategy. What do I do now? She said, well, I made Shabbos, but so what is it right now? Are we Friday with Kedusha Shabbos, or are we Shabbos? Yes, you're about to ask, but it might be Muktzah.
Oh. Can't you even get more basic? Women bring in Shabbos 18 minutes early. For them, for half of our species, it's already Shabbos, and we're driving in a car listening to the radio. So they've already done it.
Right.
It happens every week for them.
Incredible. So now there's another question. Go through. This is it. Another question. So wait, that's question lumbus, fundamental lumbus number one, is when you take in a normal early Shabbos, what are we doing? Are we making Friday into Shabbos, and we just have a short Friday, literally a short Friday? Friday ended an hour early, and now we have Shabbos, an hour extra. Or, no. We're not masters of the universe. We don't control days and night. That God runs that. We have an option to take upon ourselves. I make a nether. If I make a nether right now, that right now, I want to keep an hour of Shabbos. Might be a violation of doing such a thing, but let's say I want to take it. I can take anything else I want on. It's Tuesday, so I can't take on the Shabbos day. Fundamental number two, what Charles just brought up. In general, I cannot ask on a normal Shabbos. Let's say we have a guy that we know does not keep Shabbos. He doesn't keep Shabbos. Okay. And you know what? It's a little hot in my house on a Friday night. Can I tell the guy, listen, but you don't keep Shabbos anyway. Do me a favor. Turn the engine on anyway. No, you cannot do that. You cannot ask or hint or benefit. That's how bad it is. That means even if your bum cousin is there for Shabbos, says, you know what? I'll do it anyway. You can't even sit in the room according to most. You can't even benefit from it. When a Jew violates Shabbos on his own, when it goes to benefiting, there are leniencies to place. So for example, if it's getting dark and you want the light on, well, you don't want the light on, the guy turned the light on for you. How much does the light benefit? Could I have sat in the dark and done basics? So he helped me, but it's not 100% benefit. That's when they start playing the game. Could I sat in the room and survive without the air conditioner? Then maybe it's not called total benefit. So there are potential ways out. Otherwise, you'd be in trouble. Yeah. But
I can be in trouble. What are you supposed to do? Can't tell him now to turn it back.
You can't tell him to turn it back. Right. That's a violation.
You can't tell him to turn it back.
Right.
You already did. What are you supposed to do?
Switch rooms. In the simplest version, we switch from David to David. So you can't bet now. Why can't I benefit from another guy doing it? Because that's the rules. You can't benefit from a Jew doing any work. But this we do know. And ask the guy becomes more lenient. If you do it at a hint, does it for himself. There are leniencies for the guy. Because when a Jew does it, there's a problem benefiting from it. When a guy does it, it's more you instructing him. So the benefit could be play game. But let's say you make early Shabbos 5:15. This happens all the time. And then you get home and you realize the clock was set wrong AM and PM. Who could work this stupid clock? It's for 6-year-olds and up except for me. And I'm like, I don't know what the heck's going off now. I'm supposed to go 6 a.m., not 6 p.m. And I'm like, what do I do now? You could absolutely, no hints, no nothing, go to the local Jew who did not start Shabbos yet and say, Michael, clearly, go into my house and turn the AC on. Not a problem at all. And the question is, why not? Why is me asking another Jew to do something? So the simple answer is that because it's not Shabbos for Michael. But I took on Shabbos.
It's Friday, that's Shabbos.
So there's two ways to look at this also. One is, if it's not Shabbos to Michael, everything else is irrelevant. The other way some want to learn, very, very hard to understand, this is my opinion, is that when I take on Shabbos early, I take on certain things. When I took on Shabbos, you know what I meant? I'm not going to cook. I'm not going to turn the lights on. Yeah. I didn't take on that I'm not asking Michael not to do something. That's not, I don't take on Michael's problems. I'm always, of course, when I accepted Shabbos, I always had backdoor policy that I'm going to ask someone else. If I need it, I'm going to ask someone else.
That's
very hard to understand. Well, Bush says, My back to when I said, wait, the question that became on this Lavush besides you saying, is this such a thing as I could take on? Could I take on half of Shabbos? Why am I saying I'm taking on everything but asking Michael to do something? Can I take on, and you know, I won't cook and I'll say Zmiris, but I'm still going to turn my television on because it's a good nickname on tonight. Is that even a lack? This becomes the second debate. Second debate is, do you have a right to take on half Shabbos early? Regular Shabbos, obviously, no choice, because that comes on no matter what you do. at 6 o'clock at Shabbos. So at 5 o'clock, can I take on half Shabbos? And most understand, besides the Bush, or had to learn the Bush, most is that that's not a very viable option. So why can't I do it?
What does it mean, half Shabbos?
That means I'm taking on 39 melachos I won't do, but the idea of me telling Michael to do something, I don't take that on. And then I can extrapolate that. I'm not taking on cooking, but I'll take on don't turn on lights. Can I do such a thing that I'm taking on early? I'm only accepting upon myself half of the 39 melachos early. Very unlikely.
Sounds weird.
Sounds very strange. So now, what about two different kedushas on a Shabbos Yom Kippur? On a Shabbos Yom Kippur, could I take on 100% Shabbos and zero Yom Kippur? Or just like I can't take on 33 of the 39 melachos, can't stop playing games. As you just said correctly, it sounds very weird. What about taking on Shabbos and not Yom Kippur? Is that also weird? Now, if we're going to say, hope not going too fast, that the day becomes holy. No, Shel, I can't do that. I can't make it early day for half and not the other half. That's for sure out of the game. Because if I'm making my Friday afternoon full Shabbos now, the normal Friday afternoon, then I can't say it's Shabbos for Shabbos, but it's not Yom Kippur. That would be very difficult to understand. The only question would work is, if Friday is always Friday, I just accept upon myself certain things on Friday. I'm accepting Shabbos laws an hour early, but it's still Friday. Can I do that now? I'm only accepting on myself Shabbos and not Yom Kippur. On a regular Shabbos in the summer, when you take Shabbos an hour early, what are you doing? Negate the love of spirits. Does it become Shabbos reality, or it's just on you obligation? But if the day changes, it's still, of course, Friday afternoon. Of course, it's Friday afternoon. It's still Friday afternoon, 5:15. If a guy says, what time is it now? What day is it? Your answer is, it's Friday. But by the way, I'm holding Shabbos now. It's Friday, I'm holding Shabbos, or for me, it's Shabbos. And again, the difference is going to be on these laws that I should have done. Shake the lulav, Sfiras HaOmer, all of these laws of asking someone else, what happened here? Did I change the day? So we have a fundamental question. Can you, first of all, take on half Shabbos, which everyone here is agreeing is weird. Now we're saying, can you take on Shabbos and not Yom Kippur? We're saying that now that would be dependent on whether the day is rushed in or it's just taking on something. If the day is being early, then you can't split the day. That would not make sense. But if you're taking on yourself, maybe take on yourself Shabbos, not Yom Kippur, and start at 5 o'clock, get your meal, and get missing. What's the practical difference that's going to come up? That this sounds theoretical because no one's doing it at 5 o'clock this week. We have people, God forbid, whatever the word is, if we discussed in the past, if a doctor informed you, diabetes, heart condition, whatever, it doesn't make a difference. If a doctor and a rabbi tell you, you should not fast, you have a mitzvah to eat. And according to some rebbes, you read some rebbes, they claim that it was the happiest time in their life. Like they ate on Yom Kippur with the same happiness as fasting, because that's my job right now. So let's say this year, let's go regular year first. A regular year is a guy told beforehand, you're going to eat. Not IV, real food. Regular Yom Kippur on a Monday. Monday afternoon. There's a debate happens now. When he eats, does he require the regular holiday events? Two rolls, Kiddush, Seyalav Yavoy, when you bench. We're the obligation on a regular Monday, right? Regular Monday Yom Kippur. When a guy is told, okay, you're going to eat, what's he doing now? Is he eat whatever you want? Again, if a guy is extremely sick, eat whatever you want, obviously. We're talking about a guy who's being told you need 1,000 calories within an hour, whatever normal thing it is. You have what we call yeshiva das, calmness. You're thinking it through. So you're sitting down to have your meal. Are you going to make kiddush on Yom Kippur? Are you going to have two challahs on Yom Kippur? What do we do? Or just eat? Well, who cares? If a guy is being told he has to eat, it would make more sense to try to depend on what the situation is. But most rabbis will say one of two things. Take it increments, take a little drink every rabbi 6 minutes, or some rabbi will tell you, listen, you're going to need a real meal, but you don't have to go 3 seconds in. Eat right before and then do it tomorrow morning or late tonight. Yes, again. And then some will be told, just do everything. Depends on God, how sick the guy is, right? Yeah. So now, but when he's eating in the actual Yom Kippur day, you're right, that's good. But what about the guy's act? Does he now require a cup of wine? Cup of wine. Make kiddush with two challahs, cover his challah like a regular Yom Kippur. On a regular Yom Kippur, that's what we're doing. So normally on a regular Yom Kippur, the guy's not doing because he's not eating. It's a whole game. But you have to eat. You have a mitzvah to eat. So do mitzvah Yom Kippur. They say like this, that when a person is eating, he doesn't have the holiness of Yom Kippur. So then if the holiness of Yom Kippur is out, then none of these things apply. The whole Yom Kippur is out, so don't do it. But now we have the obvious question. What about this year? The practical question. I don't know how many people in Bnei Avraham are going to be eating the Shabbos, but after the rest, he's telling certain people to eat. I don't know what the health of everyone here is. On this Shabbos, Rosen's right that on a regular Monday, the guy's eating. He doesn't have his personal Yom Kippur. We have your personal Shabbos. That doesn't stop. So the guy's being told, eat on Yom Kippur this year. So now, the question now is this week. Here's a real question. We have an early question with the second. They tie in. On a guy who's being forced to eat this week, forced, whatever he should, does he now, Yom Kippur's out. Rosen's right. It's not Yom Kippur anymore. Okay, so, but it's still Shabbos. So let him do a regular Shabbos. That he doesn't lose now. According to you, what were you thinking a minute ago? You were thinking on a regular Monday. Now that it's a Shabbos, is he now obligated on like a regular Shabbos? Two breads, cover it, wine. Again, he has to be healthy enough to wine, the whole spiel. But if the guy's eating a regular meal, so before you eat the regular meal, do the whole thing. Make the kiddush, say ritzei, say yal b'yomi. The Rikiyega, if I remember correctly, says to do it. The Rikiyega says that we don't rule this way. We don't rule this way. Why not? The rule is this. Such a brilliant question. It's brilliant, this question. But it's worth it for this question alone. The rule is, Michael, that a Kohen Gadol is obligated to perform all the services on Yom Kippur. All the Yom Kippur services. It's a hard day. He's up the whole night. If you remember the Mishnah, they're showing. It's a long, rough day. That's why they're nervous. He's going to demand certain weather streams. He's going to extend the year even because we're nervous. Because it's a long day. So our Smash is a bomb question. Every Shabbos, the Kohen Gadol doesn't do everything. No, absolutely not. I'm saying the regular Kohen Gadol. We, every Shabbos, bring a Shachris, the Tamid. It's a Shachris. We bring what's called a Musaf. I don't know, there's no working. There's a Musaf sacrifice that's brought every Shabbos. Whoever brings it, brings it. There's a Musaf sacrifice on Yom Kippur. Does the Kohen Gadol have to bring it or not? What happens to the sacrifice? On one hand, it's a regular Shabbos. Every Shabbos, I don't do it. Why am I doing it now? Or do we say, whoa, you're in charge today. It's your long day. So what does he say now? It is my long day on Yom Kippur, not on Musaf. That's a regular Shabbos. Or too bad. So the Arsimat proves that the Kohen Gadol doesn't. Which means that the Yom Kippur service, the day, the awesomeness of it, the power of it, supersedes Shabbos. It grabs Shabbos and puts it underneath. All Shabbos, I don't know what the word is, disappears within Yom Kippur. So even on a normal Shabbos, the Kohen Gadol is not going to bring the special sacrifice. But on Yom Kippur, you got to bring the special sacrifice. Because this is not called the Shabbos Musaf. Of course, if it was a Wednesday, we're not bringing it. But it's no longer a Shabbos Musaf. This is a Yom Kippur Shabbos Musaf. But the first word's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur takes precedence and takes over. So if you now, going back to Stephen's idea, are going to say, oh, by the way, you know, X, Mr. X is not healthy. I'm not saying his name. Mr. X is not healthy. Go eat today. When he's eating and now taking away his Yom Kippur, there's no Shabbos left. Shabbos was superseded, was usurped by the Yom Kippur power. So then this guy's back to what you said. He's a regular Wednesday. Shabbos gets swallowed up into the Yom Kippur service. Into the Yom Kippur service. So it's not saying it's still Shabbos. No, it's not still Shabbos. The question begins assuming that there are two separate entities, one called Shabbos, one called Yom Kippur. They both converge on Shabbos. Can we make one early? Or do we make a kiddush if the guy's eating? But that's all based on the assumption, or the kibbeh, so this is real, that therefore you have to do it. But on the other hand, if you're holding Shabbos disappears within Yom Kippur, none of these questions apply. Now, again, Rabbi Kibbeh says you do. He says make kiddush. Let's go about this. Make kiddush. Mishnah Berurah says, no. We don't rule that way. I'm assuming about the same way. I don't know if anyone else rules that way. But the Chiddush is a famous story that we learn with little kids. When we went to high school, don't tell me that in the cholera epidemic of 18-something, I forgot the year, 1840-something.
Cholera, correct.
Cholera epidemic. That happened. The famous story was there would be Saul Salanta, the great Musinik, who was Musa, a giant in all facets of Torah law. Obviously, they wouldn't have accepted him as just Musa in those days. The famous line was that he got up and shul, this is story, and he made kiddush to make sure that everyone was going to eat. Because he held, back then, maybe for Hilsa, that if you're not going to eat, you're not going to survive. The Kuf Nefashas is doing for everything, and he got up in front of everyone and made kiddush and made everyone eat. And that's a legendary story. I was there.
Then? Because
it was
a plague?
It was a plague, yeah. And according to the legends, it was not clear, it was a Shabbos Yom Kippur. So that would mean, wait a second, we don't just have Rabbi Akiva Eger, the giant Rabbi Akiva Eger, we never diminish Rabbi Akiva Eger. They say, if you want to understand brains, read Rabbi Akiva Eger. If you want to train your brain to think, read Rabbi Akiva Eger. It's the best stuff around. But we have Rabbi Yisrael Salanta's story that says also that in the end, he was supposed to make the kiddush. He did it. That's one of the story. But we rule today not. The reason we're saying we're not is we're going with this Eretz Sameach, where the Eretz Sameach is saying that the Yom Kippur swallows up the Shabbos. Okay, we'll stop here because I think the camera's also running out. I think this was great, personally. No, this is all of Jolti. That's a sefer of Jolti. He was the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. He was the Rosh Rabbanon of Jerusalem. He's not alive anymore. And this sefer is this. First, it was written. Beautifully written. And it's the whole sefer. The whole sefer is this thick. There's only one volume. There's other volumes.
What year was this when he was
wrote? This is printed in the 70s. And he was around then. Now, it's written beautifully. And it's all the whole sefer. Imagine this. I don't know how many this one has. There's probably 100 plus things here. 100 plus topics. Each one is like this. Each one is this fundamentals, going to the root of things, understanding the practical differences. It's just Olam Hazeh. They have a famous story from Rana Kotler that a guy once came to Rana Kotler and said, is it true that if I support a guy in learning, we get 50-50 in Shemayim, 50-50 in heaven? I get all the merits he gets if we support him the correct way. Not to give a dollar. It has to be a certain system. So Rana said, yeah, of course. That's what we call Yosef's ruling contract. It's a real thing. So the guy told him, so why in the world would I want to sit and learn? I might as well enjoy myself and give half my money away. As if the guy can give half his money away. And Rabbi told him, in Olam Haba, in heaven, yeah, equal. Well, who's going to enjoy this world? Only the guy learning. You're going to miss out on this world. And that's this type of stuff. And this type of stuff, you miss out on this world. Anyway, like we do every year, Matzim Atoyva, I apologize for everything, the waste of time during the classes, the terrible jokes I made to all of you, picking on certain people as an example, and I shouldn't have, speaking Lashon Hara, thinking Lashon Hara, anything that goes on, I beg forgiveness, because it's a yearly thing we've been doing for many years, me begging forgiveness. One year I told Rosen that really I'm going to be nice and say I forgive you, because you guys caused this, you're the favor. If you wouldn't be so crazy, I wouldn't have the need to have these bad thoughts. That's what we did years ago. But this year we're not going to say that, even though I just said it. This year we're just going to ask straight up forgiveness. Carol, look.